Would you like to receive written broadcast transcripts of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever? Become a monthly $25 contributor or an annual $250 donor, and we'll send you a flash drive of broadcast transcripts upon the completion of a book of the Bible. Learn how to subscribe at thewordendures.org/transcripts. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
Can you see her hold that little baby ever tighter in her embrace as she sees those cruel hands reaching out toward her treasure, toward this child that is the treasure of the entire human race?
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of Matthew.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. Last time, recall, we heard Herod call together the wise men for the purpose of prying out of them a piece of information he needed, namely, what time the star had appeared. He was covering his bases. If the wise men didn't tell him where to find the child, well, then he just ordered the deaths of anyone close to that age. Remember, too, that St. John Chrysostom, our great teacher from the 4th century in Antioch, pointed out that it doesn't mean that the events happened 2 years after the birth of the child. God may have timed the star's appearance and message to the wise men to get them to arrive at a time nearer to the birth. And Herod may have upped the age window just to make sure, to make double sure, he didn't let the child slip from his murderous clutches. And as the wise men head to Bethlehem, another miracle, the star appears again, literally leads them directly to the house. And its leading is unmistakable. So it's not way, way, way up in the sky, but manifestly nearer. Remember, house too, not stable, not manger. And going in, they worship. And they have no doubts, despite the child and his mother being manifestly poor and hardly looking the part of royalty. How could they doubt when the star from heaven was so utterly clear? They fall down, they worship this newborn king and offer him their three gifts. Remember the way they're usually taken as prophetic, of course, but above all, how those gifts were a resource to the Holy Family for what's about to happen. Then off to their own country after being warned in a dream not to return to Herod or to pass that way again. Moving on, the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, beginning at the 13th verse of the second chapter. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." St. Matthew 2, verses 13 to 15. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your Holy Word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life which you've given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Ready to dig in? Let's do it. Verse 13. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. Another dream with more instructions for Joseph. St. Luke, of course, skips this entire event and just records the return to Galilee. The flight into Egypt wasn't important to him for his purposes of telling the good news. St. Matthew, however, writing for his Jewish friends, finds great significance in the event, for it serves his purpose of showing how Jesus recapitulates the whole history of Israel in his own person, as he'll make plain in a bit. Martin Chemnitz, the greatest of the second-generation reformers in the 16th century, he teaches that in this event, God shows us that God is preserving the following order, that he does not impose upon his elect the cross and persecution without first forewarning them with his word and the forestrengthening of his spirit. So God gives Joseph, as he gives you and me, a heads up that persecution is what awaits in this world those who would serve this newborn king. For the powers of this world have marked him and those who are loyal to him for extinction. Some have wondered across the years about how seemly it was for God to have given way to Herod and to have his son flee before him. The key, of course, is the same when St. John would say later in his gospel, his hour had not yet come. The child would be taken by the authorities, but only when grown to manhood, after his ministry, after instructing his disciples. Before that, his life is miraculously preserved time and again against the machinations of those who would see him dead. The great 5th century bishop of Ravenna in Italy, St. Peter Chrysologus, puts it quite bluntly. Thus it was that Christ, when he became man, was not to flee the death he escaped as an infant. It helps naturally that God knows all things and can circumvent what Herod's up to keep the Savior alive and safe until the appointed time of his sacrifice arrives. Herod, though, sensing that the child is some threat to him, utterly misses the mark. Sedulius, writing in the 5th century, composed a hymn that the church has delighted to sing ever since in Epiphany tide, the season that follows Christmas. The star proclaims the king is here, but Herod, why this senseless fear? For he who offers heavenly birth seeks not the kingdoms of the earth. Christ never came to steal Herod's throne, his crown. He came to bear his sin, as he came to bear yours, to destroy his death, as he has destroyed yours, and to bestow on him a kingdom that he would never have to lose, if only he would repent and believe, which apparently he never did. Thanks be to God, you have believed in that kingdom that is yours in him. Now back to Joseph, verse 14. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night, and departed to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. Note the same terminology the evangelists use that the angel used. The child and his mother. Can you picture him shaking her awake after his dream? Mary, Mary, I'm sorry. Get up, get packed. We have to go. Can you imagine her befuddlement? Now? But Joseph, it's pitch black. Isn't it the middle of the night? His urgency brooked no objections, though. Yes, yes, it is. I know. Get ready. We have to leave. I mean now, right now. Herod is going to try to kill the child. God warned me through his angel in a dream. Can you see her hold that little baby ever tighter in her embrace as she sees those cruel hands reaching out toward her treasure, toward this child that is the treasure of the entire human race? And what a frightful thing for Joseph to be appointed the guardian of such a treasure. So up they get, and out they slip into the night, leaving Bethlehem behind, starting toward Egypt. I suspect they probably look like such poor fare that robbers would have left them alone. Those three? Slim pickings there. Why bother with that? Not ever guessing the rich gifts that the Magi had given them, hiding now in their luggage. And did Joseph and Mary time and again pause to thank God for the kindness of those men and for his provision for this surprise journey? Did they think of Abraham's famous, "The Lord will provide," when Isaac was almost slain as they journeyed on in the dark and the light began to slowly grow in the east? They were safe from Herod's sword, though I'll bet they did not slow down save to allow Mary to nurse. But so it was that they didn't have to hear the screams that filled Bethlehem and its environs when his soldiers arrived to do the butchery of their master. Now, Egypt at this time had a fairly large Jewish population. It was a Jewish ghetto, if you will, particularly in Alexandria, which is where I suspect they landed. It was in Egypt, remember, that the Old Testament scriptures had been translated from Hebrew and put into Greek a couple of centuries prior. Coming into Egypt, Joseph would have found some of his own people and would be able to continue living as a pious first century Jew, attending synagogue, praying, and waiting with the child and his mother for the signal for the safe return so that he could go back and worship again at the temple. How much did he piece together of what God was up to in all of this? We have no way of knowing. But the evangelist, St. Matthew, he lets us in on its significance in his usual way. Verse 15b, "This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.'" And what prophet is that? Hosea, that great 8th century BC prophet and contemporary of Isaiah and Micah and Amos. Hosea, who focused so beautifully upon chesed, the steadfast love of the Lord. This is from chapter 11 of his prophecy, the opening verse. "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son." Hosea is replete with both images that God uses to describe his love for his people, that of wife and that of child. He highlights Yahweh's faithfulness in both images and Israel's unfaithfulness as either Yahweh's betrothed or as his child. Jesus is a foil to Israel's failure. If they are disobedient son, he is faithful son, whoever does all his father's bidding. St. John Chrysostom, in his own day, heard the Jews objecting to this citation by St. Matthew, insisting that's not what Hosea was talking about, not at all. He was talking about Israel, not about Jesus. Chrysostom points out to Matthew's detractors, though, how very often throughout the Old Testament, a nearer fulfillment nests inside of a greater and more distant one. He argues this is of a piece with that. And since St. Matthew had already introduced us to the very notion that the entirety of the Old Testament is actually, well, Jesus' story, his genealogy, his book, he undergirds this point with all of these citations from the prophets that punctuate his gospel and show how the whole finally came home to roost in Jesus. But this one, I think, is of particular importance. It shows, as I said above, that Jesus is Israel, and Israel reduced to one, and Israel as faithful son. Thus, he will relive the whole of Israel's story in his own life. If Israel, quite literally Israel, Jacob and his sons, went out of the promised land to Egypt for a period of time, then so will Jesus. If Israel wandered 40 years in the wilderness and endured various temptations and trials, then so will Jesus wander 40 days in the wilderness and endure various temptations and trials. Said another way, Jesus in his whole life, from birth to death, from resurrection to ascension, is at work bringing the actual meaning of the Old Testament to light as the revelation of himself. No single bit of the Old Testament can give you the whole that you find in Jesus, but taken all together in light of his story, as St. Matthew and the other evangelists tell it, you begin to see that it was no exaggeration to speak of the Old Testament as his own book, whose job was to proclaim him as the Savior of sinners and reveal him as the God who is with us. Next time, the murder of the holy innocents. Till then, though, people loved by God, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. If you have a question or a comment about today's teaching, send an email to contact@thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.